Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. I'm Emily Kwong, and I'm stepping in for Melissa Marconi-Wenzel to bring you a pre-recorded special interview with a wonderful guest who's in from out of town. This is Karen Lucas. She is the founder and president of the Port Alexander Historical Society. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Emily. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Karen, for those who aren't as familiar with Port Alexander history as you are, can you give us a quick snapshot of what Port Alexander was like in its heyday?
You bet. So the heyday was in 1930, but of course previously it's found on the south end of Baranoff Island, just around the corner from Cape Omni. And it's a little fishing village hamlet, obviously occupied by natives long before the Norwegians showed up. The first trawlers came in 1913, and that's when Mark Kirchhoff, who wrote a book for us at our centennial celebration, it's called Port Alexander, A Centennial Celebration. Anyway, we pegged it at 1913, and then it was by 1920 that Carl Hansen, a Norwegian entrepreneur from Seattle, came up, and he saw the rich fishing grounds and decided that he would plant a little community there, and it rapidly filled up with Norwegians in the 20s, and by the early 30s, there were reported to be 4,000 people in Port Alexander.
Wow.
And it was known as the King Salmon Capital of Alaska. It had that particular distinction. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but that's what they called it. And there was just abundant salmon, abundant herring, and it was quite a lively place in its time in the 30s. I've done several oral histories of old timers, 80 people in their 80s and 90s. And when I do those oral histories, they are just, they love Port Alexander. I mean, it's like the best time in my life was when I spent it in Port Alexander. So it is a place that really grabs a hold of you.
A lot of your work for many years has been to try to capture this history in the form of a historical preservation and the museum. So how did you get involved with that work?
I showed up at the tail end of the 70s when they were homesteading Port Alexander and the state was giving away lots. And so a bunch of people from California and other places came up and staked these claims. And so then this little hippie community back to nature type thing sprung up in Port Alexander. And I was kind of on the tail end of that. But when people came to homestead, of course, they no money, you know, lots of elbow grease and that kind of thing. And by then, in the early 70s, it was pretty much a ghost town in the 60s. And so people showed up and said, wow, I need books or I need dishes or, hey, there's a real cute dress hanging in a closet over at this house, because everything was abandoned. So a lot of artifacts essentially came out of this abandoned community. And people used them. The 70s folks, you know, used them in their homes and this and that. And it was always so much fun to find this or find that. And it was in the 70s when everyone's like, and then that's when we learned about the stories. What was this place? What was it like in the 30s and this and that? And
wow. And so where you picked up the kettle and you were like, huh,
yeah,
this isn't just an object I use. This belonged to someone before me.
Yeah, correct.
And has a history attached
mm-hmm.
to it.
Yeah. Okay. And so then the whole town was feeling rather passionate about let's keep this spirit alive. This was a pretty neat place, and so there was always talk about it, but then nobody, you know, people move on and this and that, and but then so it was in 94 that I decided, nope, this is my last year. We're going to do this thing. I'm going to get this. We're going to get this history, because by now everybody wants that stuff out of their house because they've moved on to other things, you know. And so it's like we need a repository for these artifacts that have been collected. And so that's when Ori Bell, who's essentially our benefactor who gave us the building. Turns out it was one of the last remaining standing buildings from the 30s, and it's Carl Hansen's house, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, that this man who founded the town, it would be his house that would remain standing. And so he gave us this building and said, go ahead, start your museum. Once we got the building, In 04, I think it was. Then we spent the next like 3 or 4 years just mostly construction work, you know, writing grants, getting money to do the electrical, the plumbing, the jacking it up, the, you know, the roof, et cetera. And yeah, so then we fixed up our building. And then I guess it was in 2010. I mean, we were established. It's what they would call an emerging museum because it does take time for these things to solidify. We did get the Elva R. Scott Award for a pioneering museum. Evidently, she was quite a woman, and so the state looks for these little, you know, startup type museums, and we've just been steadily working on this project to date, and we've got future plans as well.
Yeah, catch us up to speed with what's new at the museum now. What new projects you're working on, or new artifacts you've brought in?
Well, we have a lot of documents, and we have a lot of photos. We have hundreds of old black and white photos. Ordway was the premier photographer of the time. That documented the 30s, and they're just awesome, you know. And Marty Riemann donated some molds for LEDs, and we've got a set of old Gerties. We've got, you know, a laundry list, because there was a laundry there, and, like, you know, it cost 10 cents to wash a tie, you know, stuff like that. You know, it was, you know, like I say, lots of photos. We're starting our own little Alaskana library there, so all books related. You know, old fishing gear. And we have the original weights and measures from Stewart's store, which was the fisherman's store, where you'd put the weight on the thing and you'd weigh out your salt or your flour or whatever you were buying. And It's just stuff from the old days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can people engage with the museum? How can they come visit? How can they come support?
Yeah.
I wanted to highlight that.
Well, we are a 501c3, so we're a nonprofit organization. We're a membership organization. The dues are $12 a year, and that we do an annual newsletter, and that people could call me at 747-7803 to inquire. My email address, you know, probably just a phone call would be best. Our mailing address is in Sitka, and that address is 224 Catlian. Okay. And that's where, because with winters and everything, and I don't winter down there because my house needs insulation, but it's a great summer place, and I'm hoping to get it fixed up so I can spend more time, but that's probably the best contact. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the geographic reach of the museum? What kind of area of history are you trying to catalog?
Yeah, our scope is essentially Southern Chatham, wherever the waters hit the shore, on the west coast of QU, the east coast of Baranoff, from Peril Strait to Coronation, Spanish Islands, Cape Decision on that end, and then around the corner up to Whale Bay. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of those fishermen did fish on the outside. And that's kind of our geographical scope.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you, Karen, which is, what advice would you give to others who want to start their own museum in their own communities, where they have an idea but don't know how to begin?
Wow. Well, I say that if you know, I've always said where there's a will, there's a way. And I just encourage small communities to preserve their history and herald their history, because history of a location is so important for the identity of the community, and to just maintain that as much as can be. And, you know, I know for me it was a learning curve, learning how to start a 501c3 and this, that, and the next thing. And probably a good idea to start out getting all the, you know, paperwork particulars out of the way, you know, so that you're a viable entity. And then it's, you know, it always boils down to fundraising. And if you have a good core group of people that are passionate about a project, it totally can happen. And once it gets started, people do jump on board and want to volunteer and they want to lend a hand and be a part of it.
Hmm. I actually have one last thing to ask you.
Okay.
Which was, what was the most, a moment where you realized you had actually done it? You had brought this history to life and helped connect someone in present time to their past.
You know, just as you would expect. I mean, as an old-fashioned old woman, right? These two ladies, they had little hats on, and they were just the cutest thing. And they had to come back to Port Alexander to see the old place before they died, kind of a thing. And so there's something really rewarding about, you know, being available to those older people. So that they can relive their memories. And I think for me, it's the people. It's all about connecting with the people. And because really, without people, there really is no history. So, you know, I feel, you know, blessed and fortunate to have been able to be a part of that, hear those stories from those older folks.
Well, I bet there's many people in Port Alexander and who have passed through who are grateful for your work.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
And talking to me.
Yeah. And I want to say, too, it's, you know, it's not just me. It's I've got a really strong board. Phyllis Mulligan's been a great help. And we just got a bunch of new board members. And it really, what's so neat about this project is it's truly a community endeavor. And we're going to have the school kids visiting here. Their very first field trip, their first week of school is going to be to the museum. It's been a great project.
Well, great. And best of luck with the fall and back to school time.
Yeah.
This is Karen Lucas. She's the founder and president of the Port Alexander Historical Society. Thanks so much again for coming in.
Yes. Thank you, Emily. Happy to get the word out. Thank you.